Hi friends, and welcome back to Haunted History. I hope you've all had a wonderful weekend and you're rejuvenated for this coming week. The weather's been cooling off where I am, and it's no secret, I am super happy about it. And I saw a movie Saturday night. I highly recommend it. It's called The Voyage of the Demeter, and I loved it. I thought it was really entertaining, and it's actually based on the captain's log from the novel Dracula, which I wish that I had have watched this last week, because last week's episode was on Bran Castle. And if you haven't listened to last week's episode, legend or myth has it that Bran Castle is Dracula's castle, or the closest thing resembling Dracula's castle, and is somehow connected to the real life Dracula and inspiration for the character in the book. So I really loved it. Visually, it was stunning. It was eerie, dark, a little gross at parts, but I wouldn't actually say that it was pointless gore. I feel like it was a very easy watch. And sometimes you just need an easy watch and just enjoy something for what it is. Sometimes things will get a bad review and it confuses me because I'm like, oh, I loved it. But I think that it's because a lot of people are just so critical instead of enjoying something for what it is or the art behind it, especially that. I'm not sure if I'm explaining that right, but I kind of think that we forget that what we're watching or what was made to entertain us is somebody's vision, somebody's creative heart, energy, soul went into it, you know? So I think that being a little critical is okay, but I don't think we look enough for the positive aspects, I guess. We just kind of jump in and start, you know, thinking about all of the things or listing all of the things that we didn't like. So yeah, long story short, I really enjoyed it. It was a very easy watch. It had some action, some scare, and I recommend it. I'm very excited for this week's episode as well. It's definitely my favorite so far. I actually think I was getting a little too into it. I spent a few nights after Chloe sent me the script and the notes, and I was just up Googling all kinds of stuff until like 2, 3 a.m. I could not sleep. So yeah, I hope that you guys like it as much as I do. Also, before we jump into the episode, I really quickly wanted to say that I love hearing everybody's feedback. I've gotten a lot of messages and I appreciate every single one of them. My goal, like I've said before, is to really find my signature style with this podcast and bring history to everyone in an interesting way and an entertaining way. I love history. I think that it can be so much fun and it's fascinating and it can teach us a lot, but I think maybe the way that we're taught or told it isn't so fun sometimes. So yeah, and of course in these first few episodes, I'll be playing around with how the episode looks and finding out what works and what doesn't. And so today we're gonna go a little more casual and I hope you guys connect to this episode and I hope that you guys enjoy it. Okay. I'll stop babbling now, and we're going to get right to the show. This week, we're exploring an old haunted inn that sits on an ancient pagan burial ground and is infamous for devil worship and even human sacrifice. Where is this inn, you ask? Well, let's head across the pond to a sleepy little village called Wotton-under-Edge in the southern portion of the Cotswolds region in England. The Cotswolds region is a region in southwest of England. Think gorgeous rolling hills and charming historic villages. To me, it's very Jane Austen. Like, picture any of the villages in her novel, and that's what this region looks like. It's super quaint and super cozy. Wotton-under-Edge is a market town, very picturesque, where locals are definitely living their best life and tourists can unplug and escape the bustling life of the big city and can soak in all of the nature and beauty of this historic little village while shopping at local markets and staying at quaint little accommodations. One of those places, however, is said to never truly have any vacancy, as it's permanently haunted by a horde of ghosts. This place is called the Ancient Ram Inn. which after hearing the name, it already felt super eerie to me because to my knowledge, a ram or goat head is often associated with Satanism. At least that's what I can remember. So even though it's not likely, and I'll explain to you why in a little bit, but part of me still feels like it was some kind of, I don't know, twisted fate that the name has a connection to all the witchcraft and sacrifice and devil worship that's said to have happened there. And another cool bit of information, the deeds to the inn are mostly in Norman French, and they actually say the ancient Ram Inn dates to time immemorial, which in basic terms means before record keeping. So it really could be way older than we even think that it is. All right, moving on. The Ram, as locals call it, was a medieval pub, or public house they called it back then, but today we call it a pub, turned guest house, and ghost hunters and those looking for paranormal experiences have been flocking there for decades. But what makes the Ram so haunted? Well, we're about to find out. Picture this. It's July 12th, 2003. It's a pretty chill Saturday evening, and Lance Railton sits in a pub called The Full Moon in the sleepy little town of Wotton-under-Edge. He's pretty happy because the night sky is clear and the weather is warm, which means it's a perfect night for investigating. Even as Lance chows down on good pub food, socializes, and loosens up with the group of people that he's with, he's gearing up mentally for a full night of work. And this is not just any old job. No, no. He, along with 13 others from the Ghost Club, England's most established paranormal investigation organization, that's a mouthful, are getting ready to spend the night at the haunted ancient Ram Inn, one of the most haunted buildings in England. But before we go on, let's take a step back in time for a minute. So, the ancient Ram Inn is recorded as being built in 1145, which easily makes it the oldest standing building in Wotton-under-Edge. And again, there's chance that it is even older. And it's also classified as a Grade 2 listed building. So in England, this means that it's very significant, either historically or architecturally, and because of this, the inn is protected by extra rules and regulations to help preserve its character. And I'm sure they have the same thing in most countries with historical buildings. I know here in Canada, I think we use the term heritage site. I'm pretty sure that's the same thing, has the same meaning. So in its first life, the building was used to house masons, slaves, and other workers who were working on the soon-to-be St. Mary's Church, which was being built nearby. After the church was finished and the workers left, a vicar moved in and would also call it home for the next little while. Also, just FYI, a vicar is a minister in the Roman Catholic Church who serves under another minister. From what we've researched, most of the actual physical structure left standing today goes back to around 1500 to 1600. But again, the deeds go back way further, so we just won't ever know for certain. The time period when the Ram was built was very likely prosperous because the wool trade at that time was booming. So the economy was definitely on the up. And the Historic England website says that tenter hooks, which were used to make wool cloth, and a bunch of other artifacts that wool merchants would have used were found in the area. So now knowing this, remember how I said earlier that I wanted to think that the name was chosen in connection to devil worship and whatnot? Well, it's probably not. It's probably just named after the wool industry. But I have to admit, there's still a little part of me that's holding on to the whole idea of twisted fate. Okay, moving on. After the vicar was no longer a resident, and I'm assuming that this was upon his death, the building was reinvented as a public house, or pub. And it stayed a pub until the 1960s, which is pretty wild. That's a long-ass time for an establishment to stay around, like hundreds of years. It's actually pretty impressive. And that's one thing that has always attracted me to go to England, which I haven't yet, but it's on my list. And not just England, but other places in Europe and around the world. Being in a place that has so much history, that has literally been there for hundreds or thousands of years, I don't know, there's just something so insanely epic about it. And when I go into places that are really old, and I don't know if other people do this, but at the risk of sounding like a weirdo, I actually close my eyes and I imagine what happened right where I was standing 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years, etc. And I love it. I find it so fascinating. So now by this point, I'm sure you're asking, what about the hauntings? What about the ghost stories? Well, there are a handful of conspiring facts that make the sheer location of the Ram, if not haunted, then at the very least, mystical. First, according to reports, the very land that the building is on is actually a 5,000-year-old pagan burial ground from the Neolithic period. So, pagan burial ground meaning, in this case, non-Christian, before Christianity, actually. And so at these ancient burial grounds, which, by the way, there are thousands of these in England alone, there's evidence of different rituals and customs that happened when someone died. What's more is that the building was actually built on the convergence of two ley lines. Now, I'm going to do my best to explain because the term ley lines gets thrown around a lot. And I'll fill you in on it because I'm sure it's going to come up again in future episodes that take place throughout Europe. So loosely speaking, the concept of a ley line refers to the idea that there are imaginary paths bordering and connecting historically significant sites. So these sites, like the pyramids of Giza or Stonehenge, for example, are sometimes said as having magical or high energy properties. And so the ley lines carry these magical energies as well. Essentially, ley lines act like a network, you could say, of magical filaments scattered around the world. Now, with the ancient Ram Inn, it's said to be connected to Stonehenge by way of a ley line, and that the inn itself actually sits on the intersection of two ley lines. And in case you're wondering, Stonehenge, also in England, is a prehistoric stone circle monument and cemetery estimated to have been built at least 5,000 years ago. So all of these factors combined are thought to be the cause, or at least some of the cause, of all of the supernatural energies that are felt at the inn. Full disclosure, ley lines are mostly seen as pseudoscience, but the concept is still really interesting. And in the episode research, there's actually an article that did an amazing job at explaining it. It says, yes, ley lines are real in the same way that the shapes we see in the sky that form constellations like Ursa Major or Orion are real. They are perceptible to the extent that we humans decide they are. And I really thought that was a great way of looking at it. There's also a lot of talk about the importance of water on the property. And it's known that the water table runs very high in the area. And in fact, the Ram is near Potter's Pond, and it's thought that the redirecting flow of water around the church when it was being built may have opened up some dark energies. Now, I was very curious about what water has to do with the paranormal in this instance. So I did a quick Google, and from what I found, apparently, water is a medium between physical and spiritual worlds. So ghosts likely use water as a conduit for manifestation. So now with the extended history of the inn in mind, let's go to the 1960s. The Ram Pub had completely closed down to the public at this time. It was falling very quickly into neglect, which makes sense at that point. It's hundreds and hundreds of years old. But in 1968, a man named John Humphreys bought the building and moved in with his wife and three daughters. He felt the building would best serve the community as a guest house, and he was very intent on keeping its history alive, even if that meant highlighting all of the ghosts and spooky stuff. And I mean, let's face it, we love ghost stories, we love being scared, well, most of us. So, very wise move, John, very wise move. Now, let's go back to Lance Railton and his ghost hunter friends on that Saturday in July of 2003 at the Full Moon Pub. Lance and his fellow ghost hunters are a part of a long line of paranormal investigators around the world that have wanted the chance to investigate the Ancient Ram Inn. Over the years, the inn has earned a really great reputation, which I'm sure was helped by the history and the mystery surrounding it. For a bit of visual context, here's a description of the inn from its official website, just to give you an idea of the tone. The winding oak staircases, drooping beams dated back to 1465, ancient cobwebs, flagstone floors, inglenook fireplaces, and creaky old floorboards will be sure to heighten or frighten the senses. Lance ended up writing an investigation article sharing what happened during his night at the inn, and he said that John Humphreys himself was the tour guide to the ghost club that day. They went room to room while John explained the different hauntings that had occurred there. John began the tour by sharing the claims that the property was a settlement back in the Bronze Age, and that the standing stones and the cup and ring carvings nearby prove it. It should also be noted that over the years, John has also said that his hauntings began as soon as he took possession of the building. He says that on the first night that he slept at the inn, a demonic force grabbed his arm and dragged him out of bed and across the room. During the tour, John also said that at least two murders took place at the inn. One was an innkeeper named Elizabeth, who is said to have been hanged or strangled in the attic and then buried in the cellar. And another was a 14th century witch or woman who was accused of witchcraft, and her black cat, no less, who was burned at the stake for not practicing the then government-sanctioned practice of Christianity. She tried to hide at the inn, but was ultimately captured and unfortunately sentenced to death. And there's even a room in the inn called the Witch's Room that's been named after her. It's been described by other paranormal investigators as feeling oppressive. Now, this is interesting. John also says that an incubus haunts his home. So an incubus is a sexually charged demon who preys on a typically sleeping victim. The assigned female counterpart to an incubus is perhaps more well known, a succubus. And it's been thought for a really long time that an incubus and succubus are what's responsible for erotic dreams. So I guess sex really was that taboo that we couldn't even dream about it without being labeled demonic. Very interesting. So John actually said that there were moments where he was inappropriately touched by a horny presence. And he uses those terms. Wild. Aside from succubus and incubus, there were also phantom dog growls, which, side note, scare me so bad because I always think I hear growling noises when I'm alone. Definitely just my overactive brain, though. I hope. Hooded figures floating out of the floorboards have also been seen. A disembodied face in a grandfather clock. And some visitors have even said that they were pushed up staircases. And different orbs and shapes have been seen in a ghost-like mist. Perhaps the creepiest thing of all, though, apparently during renovations, underneath the foot of the staircase, the skeletal remains of several children were found, and it's alleged that they were victims of ritual sacrifice, as apparently there were broken knives in their remains that indicate they would have been stabbed and then buried. In a ground floor room called Men's Kitchen, they're said to be the remains of a woman and a child underneath of the floor. And in fact, iron shards found at the site could have belonged to daggers used in the ritual sacrifice, a fact that has even been corroborated by the Bristol Museum, allegedly. Lance also says in his article that the stone and subterranean water make the property prone to supernatural phenomena, which of course supports the other claims that the water table's effects are what's causing the ram's mystical aura, or at least some of the mystical aura. But on the flip side, the high level of the water table, which he says are 4 feet below the surface, means that he doubts that there are any secret underground graves, or even cellars for that matter. After being fed all of this information from John and the slew of urban legends surrounding the inn, what did the ghost club find during their overnight stay? Well, not much, unfortunately. During their stay, they said that they felt gusts of cold air in certain rooms, which is pretty standard for a place that's almost 1,000 years old, and several pictures of orbs, which are unexplained flying balls of light, were taken. A psychic that was a part of the group believed that he experienced the feeling of a woman being strangled, but Lance claimed at the time that the source of the phenomena seemed to be, well, the inn's owner, John Humphreys. Lance concludes the article by saying that the inn's paranormal legacy only really came to light post-1968, when John bought the property. Here's a quote by Lance. In short, the Ram seems to have remained in worthy obscurity for most of its existence. No doubt loved by its locals, but not particularly valued by their betters, and not noted for being haunted. Sadly, maintenance of the building itself had high costs. Most of them were financial, but a lot of them emotional too. John's marriage ended, most likely because of the pressures of trying to maintain the Ram, and then in 2017, John passed away at the age of 89. And the property then went to his daughter, Caroline. When Caroline became the new owner, I'm sure she knew that she had her work cut out for her. And according to an article from May of this year, she said that every single penny goes into maintenance. She also said that the inn became a paranormal event location by accident, after guests had been experiencing things that couldn't be explained. She said her dad had always suspected that it was haunted, so then it kind of evolved into an event location for paranormal activity. Today, the inn is still operating as a paranormal event location, and you can book a night for just $84 Canadian. You can even live stream your spooky stay. I'd do it, for sure. Just being in such a historic building would be so cool. So, what do you guys think? Would you spend a night at the ancient Ram Inn? Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. Like I said, it's definitely one of my favorites, so let me know what you think. I hope you all have a great week, and I'll see you next Tuesday.